Merry Christmas, friends. I want to tell you, I was real proud of my son this morning, Jonathan. When he woke up, he came downstairs. He didn't run over to the tree. He came down where I was working on my sermon. Shh, don't tell anybody. And there he came to me and he said, "Good morning, Dad." And I said, "Hey, yeah, good morning, Jonathan." And I said, "Don't you think you should use the restroom before anything else?" He's like, "Yep, yep." So he didn't run to the tree. He did exactly as Dad said. He did that. And he got out, and he said, "Hey, Dad, will you go get my clothes?" And I did. I got his clothes, and he got dressed first before he went down to the tree. And then he went over to the tree. Sophia, of course, she just ran right on by me. "Hi, Dad," and went to the tree. "It's okay, Sophia. You're still a good kid. I love you." And then you know what Jonathan did? He started opening his presents from Santa. We said, "It's okay. You can do that in the morning." He opened them, but he started singing. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You remember singing that? We haven't sung that in a long time. But I was listening to the lyrics and I was thinking about, why is he singing that? And then the next part came to me. "And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia." And I thought, how profound on Christmas morning. To think that all these gifts, all these things that Santa brought or parents brought are things because of God and his kingdom that we seek first and then everything else flows from them. Out of the mouths of babes, right? You know, I'm proud of my son, but our Lord, our Father in heaven is proud of his son, isn't he? Last night we heard about how Jesus is the king of the world, and we heard about Caesar Augustus and David and how they were kings, and Jesus is the new king being ushered in by his birth. And today I want you to think and ponder about how he's not only the king of the world, he's also the king of the word. The king of the word. What does that mean? In what ways? Well, first, I think Jesus is the king of the word by his command and use of the word, right? You think about Jesus' whole ministry and the whole Bible from the gospel beginning to end. And you remember, today we're thinking about a little baby, but later on he's 12 years old. We hear about him then, and he goes into the temple. His parents leave him behind. There's a big controversy. Is it his fault or their fault? I don't need to get into that today. But you notice what happens to the wise men or the wise teachers who were there. They are astonished at that little boy, 12 years old, at his knowledge of the Word of God. And he's even teaching them things in the temple at 12 years of age. And you go, whoa, who is this? This is not normal for a 12-year-old. It's not normal for a 3-year-old to know that much on Christmas morning. Not normal for a 12-year-old boy to have such command and use of the Word of God. Wow. And then the next thing we hear about in the Gospels is he goes out into the wilderness. Before he really meets man and gets initiated into the ministry by his baptism, first he goes out in the wilderness for 40 days, remember? And there he meets the devil. And the devil tempts him and talks to him about the Word of God. And you hear Jesus say these words, "Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So even before his ministry really gets going, begins, he's talking about the Word of God. What command of the Word of God he has, as if he's the king of the Word. Later, when he gets inaugurated into the ministry by John through his baptism, he gives his first sermon. And what does he say? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to preach." And if you preach, you do it only of one of two ways, right? Either you speak something, like Pastor's doing now, speaking words, or by doing things, which I can't do, but Jesus could do. Heal the dead, raise the dead, heal the sick. By his great power, calm a storm. He has command over the wind and the waves. He has authority in his word to raise even the dead. He's the king of the word. By his word, he could heal someone, couldn't he? Just say the word. Even that one soldier said, "I've got men under authority under me. I just say go and that one goes, and come and this one comes." And so he said, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Don't even have to come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you come to my house, Lord. Just say the word." And Jesus says, "Great is your faith." And that man was healed. Then later in his ministry, he's tested, isn't he? Not by the devil, but by man. The Sadducees, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of them have their own tests and tempts of Jesus. And in every situation, every single one, Jesus prevails. He speaks faithfully the word of God, and they're impressed, and many of them leave and marvel at his teaching, his authority, his words. He's the king of the word. Secondly, today, especially today, we marvel at the mystery, at his birth, and see how his birth shows he is the king of the word. You heard it in the gospel today, didn't you, from John chapter 1? Think how many times here that you hear the word, word, at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, and John's gospel that we heard. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made through him, what? The word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Do you remember how God made the world, how he created it? What did he do? Hocus pocus with his hand? Little elbow grease? No, what did he? He spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. He spoke creation into being. By God's word, all things came into being. And the beginning of the Gospel of John unites Christ to that word which created all things. And you see, Christmas is not just about the birth of a baby in Bethlehem. It's about creation story. It ties Christ to creation. But this word of God was not content being outside creation looking in. And so in the fullness of time, the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, that is Christ, entered creation. Or as John put it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In this way, God could truly enlighten the world by identifying himself with his creatures, sinful as we were and are. He identified with us, not by staying far off, but coming near, entering creation, the Creator there with creatures, with his people dwelling in the flesh. Born of a virgin, the Word entered the world in order to suffer with it, to die for it, to reconcile this fallen world back to God. That's what it means when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christmas ties creation story with redemption story, and we are blessed to know the King of both the world and the Word. Third, Jesus, by his death and his resurrection, proves that he is the king of the word. How? Well, because of all that was spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament comes to fruition, both at Christmas and on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Many, many prophecies prophesied in the Old Testament can be related to Christ's birth. Evangelists are doing it constantly. Just as the word of Isaiah said, so Jesus did. The prophecy fulfillment of the word shows both his birth and his death and his resurrection. He is the king of the word. From Isaiah to Job, the suffering servant, the redeemer who stands upon the face of the earth, all these things point to the fact that he is the king of the word, the one the prophet spoke of ahead of time. Now you'll have to come back to praise to hear all about how each of those words of God in the Old Testament relate to Christ. That's what we do the whole year through. So come back each Sunday. We can't do it all today, can we? But suffice it to say today, as we heard in Hebrews chapter 1, after the resurrection this was written, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. It goes on and it says, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world, He upholds the universe by His Word. You see how even Hebrews, the author there, recognizes the Word is so important. He is the King of the Word. Finally this morning, a little so what is in order, isn't it? So Jesus is the King of the world last night. So Jesus is the King of the Word. So what? Does anyone really care? Why should we care? After all, we have presents under the tree to deal with. We have festive food to eat, places to go, people to call, fires to stoke, things to do on Christmas. Busy, 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 right? Well, then remember this. Christmas ties creation story and redemption story to your story. Christmas ties creation story and redemption story to your story. For God did all these things not for Himself, not to just please Himself, but to reveal to the world the kind of God He is. A loving, caring God who created the world, who is holy and just, yes, but also gracious, full of grace and truth, as we heard in the gospel. A God who so loved us, dear friends, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The firstborn of all creation brings to you this day His gift of salvation and everlasting life. His presence is His presence in your life. His coming down from heaven is for you. All flesh is like grass, and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Merry Christmas to the Word, and Merry Christmas to you, my beloved friends in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.